This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada at ZenCon 2015, and it is my great pleasure to have as my guest Mr. Mike Wilbank. Say hi to everybody, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Now, Mike, you, of course, are involved in Midwest PHP and several other things, but you're here at ZenCon speaking, and you did a couple of them, but one of them caught my eye, mainly because I've known the buzzword for 10 years now, or 9 years now. You talked about service-oriented architecture. Can you tell us a little bit, first of all, tell for those who don't know, explain what that is, and then tell us a little bit about what you covered in your talk.
Service-oriented architecture is more so a buzzword. Really what it means is separating things out into services that you can then leverage around your code base. So I like to talk about it as in it's a pattern of development, not necessarily a means to an end.
Now, how is this different than microservices?
Microservices are basically the same thing. You're still building out services, but microservices are targeted at specifically one point, whereas service-oriented architecture is a concept of basically architecting services that you can then either plug into your MVC, you can plug them into, you know, web services, you can attach things to them, you can basically use them in, you know, various different ways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what did you cover in your talk?
So my talk kind of goes over into a general overview of basically how to architect your code bases. So we take a simple walkthrough where you might have been. You know, my example kind of starts off with you have a book, you build it out into a library, and you're just basically doing it procedurally. You're new to PHP, you got into it, you just start keep on building it out, and eventually it becomes unmanageable. Yeah. And so, you know, the next pattern we go look at is, you know, the MVC patterns. And when you start looking at that, you go, what the hell is a model? You know, so it really gives some more definition to what a model actually becomes. Mm-hmm. And so then we kind of break that into, you know, you have your model. Well, your model now becomes a service, which becomes implementing data mappers, which ends up going into repository patterns. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about, you know, how do we decorate that information and get into, you know, how do we cache things? And then we kind of start moving into a new point of, well, now you can start extending this with events and get rid of all the stuff that's inside of there that's not the core logic.
Very interesting. I remember, I think the first time I ever heard the term was ZenCon 2006. And IBM was a sponsor there, and they had a dummies guide. Literally, they had licensed the dummies guide, but it was one of these real thin ones. It was staple bound, not perfect bound. And it was SOA for dummies. And it was just struck me. And I thought, okay, yeah, that's cute. And I thought I understood what SOA was, and I went on. But it's just a buzzword that most of the technology buzzwords we run into die eventually. This one hasn't. So
exactly. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go into that. Eventually, you know, after you look at kind of the architecture standpoint of how you do your own code, you can start looking at things like ESBs, and you get into things like MuleSoft, et cetera, that are out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, governance, everything else, documentation, et cetera.
Very cool. Yeah. MuleSoft, what's his name?
Michael Stowe.
Stowe, thank you. I don't know why I was drawing a blank. Good friend of mine. He's sponsored several things that I've been involved in, and I really like MuleSoft. Matter of fact, they sponsored a day camp one time, and we broadcast live from their office. And they have a beautiful office in San Francisco. So, okay, let's move on a little bit, because I think the last time we actually talked, you lived in California, but now you're back in
Minneapolis,
and you're back involved with Midwest PHP.
Yep, back involved in Minnesota PHP, Midwest PHP. Midwest PHP is our annual conference now. We're coming up on, I think it's 4 years. I could be wrong. It might be five. actually, my good buddy, Michael Stowe, who we were just talking about, had actually, you know, brought that into fruition after I left Minnesota and handed him the reins.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think Jonathan Sundquist has run it for the past year or so.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, and yep, done a very good job.
Yep, we just recently organized ourselves into a nonprofit organization. And,
oh, very cool.
So basically we have a governance over the user group as well as the conference as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just moved venues as well. We're moving from...
Oh, you're not in the university anymore?
Correct. We moved away from the university. We're going into the Hilton downtown venue.
Oh, okay.
Gives sponsors a lot more value for the bang for their bucks. So
I can see that. That was the only concern I had. It wasn't a gripe because I wasn't a sponsor, but it was the only concern I had was the sponsors weren't central to the whole thing. But it was a beautiful venue, and right across the... It was cattywampus from the Speaker's Hotel, so yep. Even though it was just... freaking cold last time I was there. We didn't have that far to walk outside.
It was shorts weather last year.
Oh, see, I wasn't there last year, but the year before last, there was still snow on the ground, if I recall, and it was just, oh, I'm like dreading this.
Well, I mean, there's Brit's Pub right around the corner, so it was really easy to warm up.
That's true. And, matter of fact, I ate there a couple times. That was a very nice little pub to go to. Well, talk to us. What's the focus of Midwest PHP?
Really in training, you know, developers. We don't necessarily focus just primarily on PHP. We're trying to bring in a lot of the people that are trying to do Drupal,
oh, cool.
Trying to have a WordPress focus as well. But we're also trying to make sure that we also handle, you know, people that are more advanced, mm-hmm. want to learn more about the core technologies, as well as just, you know, PHP standards, PSR7s, you know, Zen Framework, Symfony, mm-hmm. etc.
Very cool. Now, as we're recording this, the call for papers is still open. I'm sure it will be closed before we release this. But since you do a call for papers, and I was involved, I think, in 5 last year, which is very uncommon for me. But I do enough so that I know what to expect. Talk to us a little bit about the process, because I'm sure that those people that are submitting or thinking about submitting to conferences don't understand what goes on behind the scenes. How do y'all handle it?
Absolutely. So, more or less, you know, we have an open call for papers. We try to get as many call for papers as we can, mm-hmm. Mainly just to try to separate out different topics, see what's basically the most interesting in the community is one part of it. The other part of it is really trying to, you know, get good diversity around it as well. So when we really kind of get into call for papers in and of itself, which I used to think was just, I don't know how these guys select them, you know, but... It's actually a very interesting philosophy. So, you know, if we first basically do a blind pass and eliminate, you know, a lot of the duplicates.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, we get a ton of talks on like Vagrant and yeah. other things like that where, you know, it ends up being 5 to 10% of what, you know, is being submitted for a talk. So some areas are highly competitive. Other ones you get very little on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we're also trying to focus on a little bit this year compared to, you know, previous years is... the PHP community generally has a lack of really kind of computer science inside of their talks. So we're missing a lot of like data algorithms, big O notations, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to also kind of breed those in a little bit more as well. So basically we do a first pass blind. We start to open it up. We look at things like joined in, especially joined in. You know, mm-hmm. if they've previously spoke, we want to see kind of how they've done. You know, have they spoken on the topic before? You know, how did people like it?
Mm-hmm.
We also look to make sure that, you know, this talk hasn't been given publicly, you know, where it's available on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you know, Cal, it doesn't really provide a lot of value to the attendees if they can watch it online.
And you know, I'm going to stop you here because I caution speakers for that. I selfishly do that because we have a policy at Nomad PHP that if you have released your talk or allowed it to be recorded and released on YouTube, you speaking at Nomad is not going to present any value to our members. They can already get your content. And so I've started cautioning developers that if you do this, you are lessening the value of the talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of us can write a talk and we can give that talk for a couple years at various conferences all over North America and even some in Europe. But as soon as it hits YouTube, I know if I see it when I'm doing call for papers, if I see it's been released on YouTube, then yeah, that's a tick against it because they can already get yeah. that.
You know? It doesn't mean that it won't, you know, there's not a possibility of it being accepted.
No, but, that's true, but it's got to be a little better now yep. than the average talk. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we basically do that. We go through that whole process. We open it up. We check all of those things. We start eliminating it down into different categories,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to figure out how we make a good spread so that we kind of have general themes that are going across the different areas. Then, you know, budget considerations always come into hand. So,
always, yeah.
You know, local speakers are generally prioritized over, you know, that of others.
Yeah.
We don't generally just do that as a rule, but it's like, okay, well, we have X amount of budget to fly people in internationally.
Yeah.
We have general budget for, you know, flying in people that are domestic. And so all of those things kind of come into consideration, and you have to take into consideration your sponsors and everything else that you're targeting. So.
Absolutely. Well, we're sitting here at ZenCon, and I ran ZenCon 2006, 2008. And the very first thing they would tell me before we would start our call for papers, start our reviewing the papers that were submitted, was the number of non-North American speakers we can accept. And that was a hard number because of the expense, you know. And you're right. That it sadly, that is a concern, but it is a concern. On the other hand, I don't think it's bad at all for conferences to have a focus on their local speakers, because we need to widen and deepen our speaker pool. And, you know, you've got some great speakers that both at your conference and at other conferences that for some, one reason or another, don't want to travel or can't travel. They can't be away from their family or whatever. And conferences like Midwest give them a chance to get out there and have their voice heard, so that when they are ready to travel, they've got a speaker resume. You know, you use Joined In. That's the speaker resume as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. I fully agree with that.
You know, I love when user groups start using it. I mean, we do it at Nomad, but I love when user groups use Joined In, because then people can say, look, I've got these five talks that I can tell you people like this.
We haven't quite gotten there with Minnesota PHP, but we should probably start doing that.
We've been doing it at Nomad PHP, and we'll get 3 to 5 every time. You know, we don't get a huge participation, but it's better than nothing. At least somebody, you know, somebody has said, look, I saw this and I like it. And I always tell people at Nomad and at Day Camp for Developers, when you rate somebody on Joined In, tell them what they did right and tell them what they can do better. You know,
absolutely.
I'm not really big into the, oh dear God, this stunk. Okay. That didn't help anybody. You know, tell them what they did right. But if they did something that you think they can do better, give them constructive criticism, and most of us are adult enough to be able to take good constructive criticism.
Absolutely, you know? Or nothing, you know, a shot of whiskey won't help.
Absolutely. I've had a couple of reviews that took some bottles, but yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, hey, you are into cycling.
Yes.
Tell
us
a little bit about that.
You know, actually my father-in-law got me into it, and part of it was, you know, living out in California, I always wanted to do it. I always had a bike. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, you know, biking's going to be easy. Oh, man, I got on a bike after all these years, and I was like, I went 1 mile, and I was tired. So, you know, starting to build that up, and, you know, it was just a release from, you know, sitting behind a screen all day.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just getting out in the open air and just kind of forgetting about everything and just going.
Yeah.
And so I end up doing the MS-150. Basically, you know, you have to go solicit donations and you basically enter yourself in. And I did that with my dad, and we ended up going 150 miles in 2 days.
Wow.
You know, stopping at the midway point was a casino. So, you know, that's always good. You know, we're in Vegas. So, hey, we got casinos in Minneapolis too.
Well, now, how long did you have to train or prepare or whatever before you could do something like that?
You know, it wasn't actually too long. I started biking into work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a 12-mile trek to work, 13 miles on the way back.
Mm.
And that really just helped me kind of get in shape, and I liked it anyways because it kept me in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for things like when I go play softball afterwards and, you know, things of that nature. So it was really kind of, you know, focusing on trying to get healthier and eating healthier. A lot of trying to make it that far is actually just being comfortable on the seat.
Oh,
because after you get to about, say, 35, 40 miles, you're feeling pretty raw.
I can imagine.
And second day is really bad until it goes numb.
Well, we I don't know what the terrain is like in Minneapolis, but the lovely and talented Kathy and I bike in Florida. But, you know, Florida's so flat, looks like it's been ironed, you know. So biking there is totally different. We, you know, we don't run into hills unless we're going over a drawbridge or something. Mm-hmm. But we're biking twice a week at about 3.5 miles right now. And I'll come back and I'm like, you know.
It'll do that to you sometimes.
It really will. I remember I just bought my bike after we moved to Florida, and the bike shop is right down the road from the house. I was like, I'll ride it home. 4.5 miles. I came in and fell on the floor and didn't move for 10 minutes. You know, you
think you're an in-shape guy until you do that. And you're like, wow. Yeah. You know, you remember as a kid, it was like 20 miles was nothing. You could do that all day long and you'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, no. And my good friend Adam Culp, who runs, laughed at me for 10 minutes. You know, he's such a supportive guy.
Yes, you know.
Well, anyhow, hey, before I let you go, I know we've talked about it, but what's your local user group and what's the URL?
Local user group is MNPHP, so MNPHP.org.
Okay. There you go. Okay, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant, and because I know the ZenCon schedule is so good that you've had to skip something to be with us, so thank you for doing that. But, I mean, you put forth the effort to help work on the user group, to organize a conference. Thank you for all that you're doing for the PHP community.
Oh, and thank you for all that you do as well.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.